This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. And now, here's your host, Miss Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, April 20th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson. How are you?
Doing fine, lady. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Letitia McDougall. How are you, friend?
Oh, amazing. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And back with us again is Sanjay Rollins Tuckers. How are you? Long time no see.
I'm doing great.
Good,
thanks.
Good. And working behind the scenes is Mira White.
Hello.
Hey, friend. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. And also with us is Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here today. We want to invite you to join the conversation. Phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or text us at TanyaFree63975. Or you can download the TuneIn app to listen to us on your mobile phones. Or you can listen to us on by your phone at 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM-FM 247 Network. Let's talk briefly about last night's New York primaries. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it was just a sweep. And it looks like I just think those two are going to be the nominee for both parties. What do you all think after last night's primaries?
I think you're right. I do think the Republican convention is going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. I really do think that, but that works in the Democratic favor. I think Hillary is well deserved. It's a well fought for title, but I think she deserves to be it, in my personal opinion.
I disagree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not feeling Hillary, and I've said that, you know, early on. I'm just not. So I wish I had another choice, but unfortunately, we don't.
You're a Bernie girl.
Yeah, I'm a Bernie girl. I really am.
Feeling the burn.
It's just something about Hillary. I just don't like Hillary, honestly. I just don't. So, go ahead, Sandy. Jump in there.
Well, I think that the Republicans will, you know, have Trump as a nominee, and I think it's very interesting. I think it's opened the door to a lot of things that the average person did not know in reference to the process. So I do think, not that I, you know, and support Trump or anything like that, but I do like all the stuff that's come out, and it's kind of funny to me, you know, when he says, "Oh, it's so the system is so unfair." So I'm like,
right.
"Oh, so we're not imagining that,
right?" He's changed it too, right. But it's working.
Yeah,
it's working.
Yeah, right. And so you have the two nominees. I think that you know, people have voted for, and we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, people are angry. People are truly angry. And I think that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump is doing so well.
Right. Well, people are angry. I don't know. I'm not too sure what they're so angry about, though.
The system.
Well,
the system.
The rigged system that they put together.
Good point. Ooh.
Okay.
Rigged system that backfired on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And can we really say that it's a rigged system? The primary process is not necessarily designed to be democratic. Now, the actual election, I can understand that, one man, one vote. But when you've got a selection process, which the primary system is designed to be a selection system,
mm-hmm.
and the best people did not come forward. And because of the circus like atmosphere that Donald Trump bought, the media time that he got from the press overshadowed the substantive people that were in the race. And the person who is still most substantive in the race is still not getting viewed, and he's getting viewed too late.
Right. Okay. I agree with you. That's Kasich. I agree
so
with you.
So the system may be rigged, but it is the delegate's obligation and a responsibility to make sure the best candidate comes forward, not necessarily that you who are uninformed, you who have not been participating, you who do not know what's going on, go with this guy because he's kicking the highest kicking major at in the parade. You don't. you don't necessarily want to do that. I would be giving up my obligation as a delegate if I picked him just because you're cute. You understand? Just like you say, you may not like Hillary. Well, it's like to say, well, okay, you don't want to get on my bus and go where you're going simply because I don't have teeth in the front of my face. Mm-hmm. My point is, it's not how I look. You're not there. I'm not there for you to like me. I'm there for you to allow my skill sets to come forward to do what needs to get done.
And I agree with you 100% on that. But far as the system is concerned, it's still, I think, rigged from the standpoint, what is the purpose of the caucuses and how they do it? What rule book are they following? It's just crazy. And to look at also, too, how the delegates are assigned or appointed or in what category. Honestly, I'm still confused as to how all that works. What is the purpose of the caucuses, and what do they actually do? If you go out and you vote for, whether it's Hillary, Bernie, Trump, or Cruz, how is it that one party get more delegates, whereas you may have gotten more votes? That's the confusing part to me. You know, and you all can explain how that caucus things, work, or what's the purpose of it?
Well, that's the part that's crazy. It's a different form. It's a different format for gaining votes. Now, we might say we don't like the caucus process.
I don't like it, but what rule book are they following that I could understand how it works?
You get the most people to turn out. And caucus, that's what it is, come together to lobby for your cause, or lobby for you. And the way that President Obama beat Hillary Clinton last term,
right,
when they were running, because he was he mastered the caucus system. He had more folk turning out during the caucus that she did not understand that ground game.
Right, I understand
that. So it works for you when you understand the process.
Right, I understand that. But if you have more votes and then you still do not get the delegate or do not get that caucus, that's where I have the problem.
I think he addressed that when he said, well, just because you're popular doesn't necessarily mean it's the delegates, then it's their due diligence or their responsibility to say, well, this person is popular, but he's not he's not the right skill set to do whatever job that they're...
What is the point of the people going to the poll then and saying, okay, we want this person opposed to who the delegates decide?
It's really just a back and forth of what you do in your pre-candidacy. And so if you are getting the lead, you are showing out there the most, you have been out there, it's even saying even 4 years before you even decide to run, then you can win in the caucus. And it's strange. Like you said, there is no rule book.
That's the problem I have. That is the problem that I have. And then on top of that, that's one, and I do agree with Trump that, yeah, they make it up as they go along, because if he has the most delegates, why isn't he the one that should be the nominee? And, think about it. If he has the most delegates going in, he's the top, he has, if he comes close to 1237, say he gets 1200 and he's short 37, but still he may not end up being a nominee. You all don't think there's a problem with that?
Kinda.
There's a problem with
that's
that.
My point.
But that's what she said. The system is flawed. Yeah. And
that's what I said. That's what I said. It was flawed. So okay. That's
well, I don't necessarily. I don't. And I don't want to beat this horse. But you need to understand, you're in a state that awards 15, 25 delegates, and you've got 100,000 people voting. Okay, how are those delegates proportionally done? Who are the delegates? The delegates are the people, are the county people, the supervisors, the state representatives. These are the people who basically control the Republican and the Democratic Party.
And this is the reason why Trump is leading, because people are upset by the way the system is working. One, they can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it just seemed like it is unfair the way it's done. Well, I just said, if Trump gets 1,200 and he's short by 37, but he may not end up being the nominee, of course, people are going to be upset.
Well, if you got the rules of the game, is you got to have 1237.
And a lot of people do not understand the rules of the game.
Not 1200. 1237.
And people do not understand. Okay, we can argue this back and forth all day long. Well, you're a councilman, so we can argue this all day long.
Don't do it.
I like it, councilman. I like it.
But back to last night's primary. Well, also what was surprising is that Ted Cruz came in second to Kasich.
Yeah.
He came in
that
third.
That was interesting.
Third to Kasich.
Yeah, he came in third. I'm sorry, third to Kasich. Yeah. That was really interesting. Now, he is one that I really, really.
But do you think it's because his supporters have jumped ship and have started supporting Trump?
No, he put his foot in his mouth when he went to New York.
Yeah. Plus, you're in New York.
New York. He put his foot in his mouth.
I mean, who are you going to vote for?
Yeah.
I mean, Trump.
Yeah, this is the hometown guy.
You can vote for the whole time guy. I mean, you're right. Let it flush out in the general election.
But he put his foot in his mouth when he went to New York.
He always puts his foot in.
Yeah, I really. And oh my goodness.
When he broke out.
Well, you know what? I do not like Peter King, but he said something, and I don't use the word hate. I don't hate anybody. But he said he hates Ted Cruz, and that if Ted Cruz were to be the nominee, that he would probably take cyanide. Mm-hmm. That is really, oh my goodness.
Well, you know, I mean, it's some people that just, they have the flair for the dramatics. And we are such a dramatic-driven society that they think that that's what we want to hear, not knowing that that is a huge turnoff. A huge turnoff.
Right, very much so.
But a lot of people do want to hear. You're right. And a lot of people are turned on by the showboat rather than the tugboat.
Exactly.
You don't necessarily
and that's
want, you know, if I'm drowning, I don't want the showboat. You know, you bring the tugboat on, you know. And we are an instant society now. We want instant gratification. We want it yesterday, not today. We don't necessarily want to have to work for it. We really don't care what the consequences are. So anybody coming down the pike with a bag full of I'm going to give you something, you know what I'm saying? We for
and
that.
That's, and that's the reason why the process is the way it
is. The way that it is, We've got a country to run, a multi-trillion-dollar corporation.
Okay. I have to disagree with you on that because if that was the case, Bernie Sanders would be leading.
Here's Bernie's problem.
Okay.
Bernie's problem is a lot of folks' problems. First of all, what he says is, although I agree with it, and I think a lot of the things that he says are good things that we should work towards, but he's also peddling to the non-registered voters. So you can't have...
That hurt him.
If your folks can't vote...
Yeah, that hurt him yesterday.
His demographics are picking up the folks that don't vote or can't vote.
Right.
So that's a huge problem.
It is. It is because I think it was like 1 million people yesterday that could not vote. They were independent.
3 million.
And could not vote yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that hurt him because he's having huge rallies, you know, turnouts. But he can't get into the polls.
Yeah, because they can't vote. They're not eligible.
Right.
And he wants to come in and get the super delegates who are Democrats, who have a Democratic machine and Democratic loyalties, to give it to him.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So then we have to go back to what your original question is. So do we think that, it's going to be Hillary? Or is it going to be Bernie? And just with that being said and just thinking about this response, then it's going to be Hillary.
It's going to be Hillary, no doubt about that. And it should be Trump. But the Republicans are, you know, doing this crazy thing that if he doesn't have 1237, they can do a second vote and possibly, you know, get someone else. That's the part that I'm talking about that doesn't make sense. And it's been, suggested that Paul Ryan... He's not even in the running or on a ballot or anything. And I'm like, how on earth could you possibly do that? I mean, but like I said, they can make up stuff it's happening. That's what I'm saying. This system is you know, it's screwed up. I don't care how y'all slicing and dicing, whether y'all agree with me or not. I don't care. Let me say that.
So what do you think is going to happen, the overall outcome in November? What is our projection?
If Trump continues to go as he's going right now, and continue to hammer the fact that the system is rigged, I think that's going to hurt them if they try to undermine him. If he goes in there very, very close, if he goes in there with at least 1,100.
So you think if he gets the nomination, you think he'll be president?
No. I don't think he'll be president. I don't think he'll be president.
But he'll be on
but
the next
I think view. He will. You're going to have some folks that that will give him the support that he would give Hillary a good run, I think. Just like we said that, you know, he wasn't going to be this far.
No one thought that.
Right, exactly. So let's not get too comfortable thinking this is a shoo-in for Hillary.
But you need to understand, last night, if you looked at those results, Donald Trump, Cruz, and Kasich got about as many votes as Hillary got by herself.
Right, I saw that.
So it was about 2 million votes cast all total.
Right, I saw
in a state that's 8 million. So we've got to keep in perspective of what's going on here. The primary is just that. It's the primary. You know, it's not the actual election. This is how we separate the wheat from chaff and the sheep from the goats, and one of the goats got out of the pen. And it's up to the superdelegates to keep that in check.
It's very, very close. Hillary's payroll.
No, I'm not. But I just think she's the best woman for the job.
Well, let me say that. I think she's the best person.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't want to break it down to gender. I just don't. I don't like that perspective. Let me, Scotty, can you hold on while we take a break? Okay. Are we about ready to take a break? Oh, okay. Well, go ahead and give us Scotty then. Hey, Scotty, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to call in and, you know, correct some information. Not that I'm, you know, trying to correct anybody, but the Republicans don't have superdelegates. They, you know, they don't do that. Only the Democratic Party has superdelegates.
Okay.
And the reason they have superdelegates is so that they can prevent a grassroots candidate, an outsider like Bernie Sanders, from rising. I believe the only reason President Obama even got the nomination is because of the large turnout by black voters and other people, not just black voters, but a huge turnout, record turnout for black voters and the superdelegates who had already just came out from the get-go like they did in this election, came out for Hillary Clinton. But once all them black voters started, you know, supporting Obama, then them superdelegates flipped.
Supporting Obama.
So that superdelegate process, that is to prevent, you know, even though it didn't work with Obama, but it is to prevent any up and coming, you know, grassroots type politicians. Mm-hmm. Last night, I was watching New York primaries, paying attention, and I thought it was very telling that CNN's exit poll showed a very, very close race within one percentage point. But then after, and this is based on their exit polling of actual voters coming out the poll, but the official results were a whole lot different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to suggest that millions of these people didn't know how to vote or were independents is just simply not true. There were registered Democrats that were registered as Democrats that were purged from them roles. And Mayor de Blasio has called for an investigation to find out why all of these millions of people right before an election would be purged from the rolls. And it was mainly Democrats that were purged. And, you know, this whole notion about, you know, most of us, and I am, and let me put it this way, I support Bernie Sanders' platform. I, you know, I rarely support the people themselves, okay, because I don't really know them. So all I have to go by is off of their past and off of what they are proposing. And I support his platform mainly because he wants to abolish private prisons and jails, and that bill is in Congress, and I don't think Hillary Clinton would sign it. And so, but to suggest that we, you know, who support Bernie Sanders' candidacy, haven't been paying attention, we don't know what's going on and all this, and that's just very disingenuous, and I find that insulting, you know, as a 50-year-old black man who's been voting since he was 18 and paying attention
Scotty,
to politics.
Scotty, let me interrupt you. Can you hold on while we take a break?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Today's praise break is His Eyes on the Sparrow by Whitney Houston, dedicated to our dedicated to the family and friends of our friend Oliver Rodney Hunt Singleton. May he rest in peace.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Lord, why should my heart feel lonely and long? Heaven home.
And friends would like to honor the life and legacy of Oliver Rodney Hunt Singleton, a God-given warrior that genuinely touched the lives of many. As president and chief executive officer of the Metropolitan Business League, Oliver was a strong supporter of minority-owned and small businesses in the Richmond, Virginia area, overseeing an average of 150 MBL member businesses. Along with helping MBL members, Oliver is credited with organizing the Women Who Mean Business Summit, one of the largest conferences for professional and executive women in the region. Known for his sincerity and trust, Oliver served as mentor to countless entrepreneurs. In addition to helping many reach their business goals, Oliver, an outstanding father, is advised by his wife, Rose Stith Singleton, daughters Rachel and Christine, and son Hunt. We thank God for the devoted father, committed executive, and trusted friend that will be deeply missed. Rest in peace, friend, Oliver Rodney Hunt Singleton.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. That's 800-708-3091.
Big John Trimble here to invite you to listen to my show, heard 6 to 9 each morning, Monday through Friday, right here on WCOM Radio. We play real country, bluegrass, 50s rock and roll, and comedy. We feature trivia contests and over-the-fence chats with our listeners and recording artists. If you'd like Dolly Parton, Conway Twitty, and Alan Jackson, or maybe Etta James, Nat King Cole, and the Platters, then you'll like the Big John Trimble Show. Now back to Tanya Free, and by the way, if you're a blues and jazz fan like me, stick around here for Tanya's jazz program coming up.
Real Brother here, reminding you of our new time, 10 a.m. Eastern on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com, YouTube, and New Orleans Talk Network. We're the alternative to conservative, but all racist, Marxist, Donald Trump, and Bernie Bro bot nut opinions are welcome.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
Brought to you by Black Trade Lines, helping you build trust in your community.
The conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phone. Scotty?
Hey.
You still with us? Yeah. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Yeah. And then also, you know, not to pick on the Democratic process being corrupt and rigged and whatnot, but the Republican process, even though they don't have superdelegates, it is rigged. And I noticed this when they disenfranchised the man that I voted for in 2012 was Ron Paul. And they changed the rules right before the convention to prevent him from challenging Romney on that second ballot and stuff at the convention. And so, I mean, it seems like, you know, they can just be all willy and nilly and just change the rules whenever they get ready to do whatever they want to do. And I just think it's sad commentary on the state of politics in this country. And if it does end up being Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton for the first time in American history, two candidates will face off that have unfavorable views by the public, by the voting public,
right,
as both of them you know, have consistently polled as being untrustworthy and unfavorable. So, I mean, it looks like I'll be voting Libertarian this year. So, thank you.
Yeah, that'll be two of us, Scotty. Tell everybody, listen to your show.
Check us out on New Abolitionist Radio tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on blacktalkradionetwork.com, where we talk about 21st century slavery and human trafficking that's going on in the United States, because the 13th Amendment, if you read it, it will show you, it will tell you that they never abolished slavery, that is still legal as quote-unquote punishment for crime. Thank you all. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it. Okay, so it looks like he, like you said, I think he's right. It looks like it will be Trump and Hillary. Mm-hmm. And they both are unfavorable. Would you all agree with that?
Nope.
No. What are you all watching? We are not watching the same thing. Well, my goodness.
I wouldn't want Trump to be my president, but I would lose any sleep if he was elected. You know, because the likelihood of me ever meeting the guy, and unless he brings in some kind of policies that's going to affect me in my neighborhood, I'll never see the guy.
You don't think he is?
No, I don't think he's in the position to do that. Mm. I think that they will stifle him just as quick as they will stifle Obama, you know, and because he's got money. But anytime you talk about China, we're going to take this back from China, but you make ties and you make bed sheets in China. You're a billionaire, and these people are following you.
Right. Well, they're not listening. And yeah,
well,
it's already
thank God
clear
for super delegates.
Go ahead, Leticia.
I'm just banging my head on the microphone. I'm just banging my head. You know, I don't think it would favor us at all to have Trump in office. To me, it's just a game that he's playing. It's a new toy. It's a new product, and America is now going to suffer if he is elected. Lord, mm-hmm. Lord, let that be a big if. And, you know, it's because he's not looking at us as a whole. He's looking at the agenda of what the people who follow him want, not what he actually wants to accomplish as a president. To him, it's a popularity contest, and he wants to appease the people who are buying his product, who are putting money into his pocket. He wants to be that favorite guy for them so that they keep supporting his for-profit business.
Well, let me ask you all this. Why do y'all think Trump is the front runner for the Republican Party at this point?
He speaks to a whole lot of angry white men.
And women.
Did you see him out there? Mm-hmm. That feel that their standing in America is, their power has been siphoned.
And it has.
Right.
And that they're losing ground on their power
and
their whiteness. I think that because he says that of course he has more money than I do, but because he says, and he's been touted as a successful businessman, that people just think that whatever he does, that, you know, the United States needs to be run by a business person. So we talk about the banks, but I think that's the biggest thing, that people have this, you know, they look at the immigrants that are coming in, and they look at their economic status rising as their own economic status in a lot of areas are either stagnant or has gone backwards.
Okay.
So I think that's a lot of it.
I think that you are just so dead on and majority of everything that you said, because if you actually watch a lot of the videos, have gone to any of the rallies, have been in the crowd, it is full of hate.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no question.
It's
about
full
that.
Of hate of where society is, and they're looking at Donald Trump as being this almost messiah that is going to correct all the wrongness that is going on in the United States up to this point. He is going to make everything back into the white country that we want and love.
And
that's what you know, they gravitate to make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
So and then your mind, what you just said, is how they think he will do it.
He can't do it.
Right.
How can one man do that?
So.
And we are already great. Compared to who? Compared to what nation on this planet? Who's richer? Who's more powerful? Who does more? Who gives more? Who can do more? We are already great.
Well, in their world, they don't see that.
Well,
in the world, in the base that I'm talking about, that he is gravitating towards.
And the people who are following him, Donald Trump came from rich family and private schools, and he was an elitist already. He's only patronizing.
Yes.
And catering to
right.
those
right.
folks,
exactly.
you know, that have nothing, and they feel like they're okay. He's saying what I wanted to hear.
Exactly,
you know,
this
you
is true. This,
away,
this is very true, and that's one of the reasons why I said that. You know, Ted Cruz and Kasich. You know, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, they may as well.
He's
just,
another
just,
side of the same coin.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz is the only grown up in the room is John Kasich.
Yeah, he's
the
only one.
I said
one
that from the beginning.
I said the same thing. Let me go to the phones. Reggie, how are you? Reggie, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
All right. How you doing in your illustrious crew there?
Hey, Reggie.
Well.
You know, Omarosa is probably a very intelligent young lady, but when I read her book, and she talks about how she slept her way to the top, and then when I see her with Donald Trump, and when she was pouting yesterday on Fox, because he didn't go right to her on Greta Van Grande's show, you know, it's pretty sad. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when he comes over this group of minorities, as mm-hmm. he called them, you know, that was on TV, and half the people I'd never even seen or heard of. But when the Bilderberg group comes up and say, Mr. Trump, we want to see you right now, you think he's going to tell them no? I don't know how he thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just see the day that even here in the state of Virginia, where we had that case, not all the place, but it seems like the case of the young man that with the transgender or whatever bathroom thing.
Right.
It just seems like every time I look around, it's like a lot of distractions are going on. You know,
mm-hmm.
they had this situation in North Carolina where we have our voting rights. I mean, look at New York yesterday. What, 120-some thousand were turned away from voting?
Yeah.
If you think that's the beginning, wait till the November comes.
Yeah, this is just unbelievable. It really is. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you guys keep up the good work because we got problems.
We got issues.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Right.
And you know what's sad about it? Like you said, the distractions, you know, and that's what hurt us. We gravitate towards the distraction opposed to paying attention to what's really, really important.
And we need to, even though the rules change, we need to understand the rules. Because the reason why you got the Voting Rights Acts that the Republicans pretty much, well, the court allowed all this redistricting and stricter.
Mm-hmm.
But whose fault is that? Did we go vote between the elections to vote
right.
in the right
mm-hmm.
people?
Yeah, absolutely right.
So we have to turn and we have to look at ourselves in the mirror,
that's
too.
That's true, mm-hmm. very
we,
much so.
We have to understand that it starts locally.
Mm-hmm.
You have to vote locally and go
local,
all
yes.
the way up.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right. That's,
it's
absolutely
not
right,
just
Sergeant.
The presidential and the presidential race.
Right. Because a lot of people, like
great
you said,
job,
won't pay attention
work.
After the presidential race. And then from a local state standpoint, you know, they just fall by the wayside.
Right.
And
yeah.
As long as they've got a Mitch McConnell in there, Bernie Sanders is not going to do nothing.
Well, he's
you
not
me?
Doing anything in a way now.
That's
so.
Right.
Reggie, tell him I listen to your show. Still with us? Okay, he's gone.
He brought up a good point about this transgender
debate,
and I don't
mm-hmm.
want to get into that. But that's new, okay? I was upset when he told me that the transgender guy that leaked all the information is feeling some kind of way, and we are going to have to pay for that. That the rules are requiring that we're going to have to pay for him wanting to be a woman now. Really? You know, and the guy in the Army, that's the guy in the Army who leaked all the information,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and now he feels that he's feeling some other kind of way,
mm-hmm.
and we are legally obligated to pay for that. You've got people in jail who decide they want to, and we've got to pay for that. Really? I mean, these are
that's
new
true.
Questions and new issues that have to be debated. Do you really want your daughter going into the bathroom?
No, don't get me started. Y'all already got my pressure up a little bit down. Let's go.
Ring with the harmony. Put your business on the map for a lot less than you might think with Freedom Marketing. Text the word ADVERTISE to 63975 or give them a call at 844-321-1010. That's Freedom Marketing, 844-321-1010.
Reclaiming the Love, WMXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's people-powered radio. Reclaiming the Love.
You're listening to AMFM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
This is Tanya Free. Summer can be a difficult time for families of youth with behavior problems. Many kids with behavior problems just cannot make it in a traditional daycare or summer camp. But there is an option. Call my friends over at the Metropolitan Day School today, 804-321-2595, to see if your elementary or middle school age child is eligible. Breakfast, lunch, and transportation provided. Limited slots. First come, first serve. Call Ms. Thomas today, 804-321-2595. The Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
I want to welcome my friend, former Richmond Councilman Marty Jewell. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank you for being here with us.
So late.
That's okay. I'm going to ask you to weigh in on last night's New York primaries. What do you think with the results as far as Hillary and Trump did an absolute sweep? And we were saying that we almost, you know, it's a done deal that Trump and Hillary will be the nominees of their party.
Pretty much as predicted. I guess the outcome is going to be pretty much as predicted. All the jibber-jabber going on about rules and trickery and this and that and the other, they can't deny Trump that nomination.
They're trying to. I mean, they're trying to. With if he doesn't have the numbers, then they're saying they can do a second vote or second ballot.
Yeah.
And they, you know, been taught Paul Ryan, even though he said he's not. You know, how on earth they're going to put him in the mix is just it's just beyond me.
Well, they'll come up with somebody.
They
come up with, what's his name, Rince Priebus. They'll stick him in there.
They're running on last year's convention rules.
Right.
And they wrote the rules to keep Ron Paul out.
Right, out. That's right.
You know, so they can rewrite those rules.
Exactly.
So this is one of the reasons Casey is saying, somebody whispered to that guy.
Oh, yeah.
You stay
because
we're going to rewrite them. We're going to take that restriction
they
off.
They rewrite the rules.
They're going to rewrite the rules.
Yeah, they do. Every convention.
Yes, they are.
Okay. All right. I just want to go back to a topic you were talking about before we went to the break.
This
transgender thing, and
I'm just
that we
saying.
Have to pay. And I am just, that can't be right. And how we would feel. What's that?
It's true, though, that we do pay for that.
As far as what the facilities?
As taxpayers.
As far as the facilities, or you talking about far as what?
The operation.
The operation itself.
The operation also.
Yeah.
As far as, and this is just from knowledge for me, just knowing a little background in the prison system. If you have a person that goes into the prison system, and I stand corrected, of course, but I do know if they've started the process, that the state is obligated to go through with that operation.
So you mean when they are arrested and they had already started to
make the process
right, and the state has to pay for that?
The medicines and all that stuff that they take.
So can't you just see people who can't afford this surgery purposely committing
break a window
crimes
going in
and to be in prison so that they can have this surgery taken care of for them?
Well, I don't think of course they don't advertise it, but my understanding is that the state does go through the process and does.
That's crazy.
That doesn't make sense to me, I'm with you, Marty.
I think you might recall on this very show my prediction of mayhem as we go down this road, that the president, the leader of the free world, when he says, okay, and everybody rushes in and says, okay, something that's been taboo for 6,000 years, suddenly you change. We haven't had anywhere near the public debate before we started approving this kind of thing. And so what we're looking at now is exactly what this lady says. You don't know where it ends. And so we've set this up, and we're just going to have to go through it. I said on this show, I don't care what you do with your pee-pee. You recall?
Yes,
and
I remember.
I defined the PPI. I learned.
Yes, you did.
I learned what it meant. It meant private parts. So let's not get all wheezy here. But that ultimately we were going to have these sticky wickets that we're going to have to deal with, God knows, ad infinitum.
Well, I already said I'm opting in for the first surgery. I want a tail. And everyone's going to have to accommodate me with chairs that have a hole in it so my tail can come out. And so different restaurants that I patronize are going to have to pay to have their places redone. I need a litter box. So, because I don't want to go to the regular restrooms. You know, so, I mean, how far do we take this to accommodate? That was a choice that you made, how you felt of your birth, and I'm not taking that away from anyone, of how they feel of who they should be and how they want to look, but it was still a choice for you to alter yourself to be of a different sex. And, and so you have to slow down and let society catch up and let us catch up, not to how we treat you. We should treat you fairly. I'm definitely not saying that. But all of these other accommodations that they have high expectations for, and they just expect everyone to jump on the bandwagon and make this choice today.
Well, I guess I'm just troubled and just really baffled by the fact that we have to pay for it. I think if you, like you said, I think the word you use, alter, if you need to feel like you have to alter yourself from the way you were naturally born, then that should be your expense. End of story. Not one penny or dime of mine should be put towards you trying to change yourself, whatever that is. I don't care what it is you want to be. If I decide I want to have a nose job or whatever, you're not going to pay for that. That's my expense. So if you want to change your gender, I don't care if you want to make yourself look white or light or black or whatever the case may be, it should not be at my expense. End of story. And the fact that we allow these people to go to court and make their point, then the court, sure, go ahead and be whatever it is you want to be, but it shouldn't be my dime that's paying for it. End of story.
And there ought to be truth and lending in all of this. Bruce Jenner is now Caitlyn, but he, like so many others, have not changed their plumbing. So you ain't transgender until you change your plumbing.
Right.
And so how are we supposed to expect and respect the notion that you need to be accommodated when you ain't got what's names enough kahunas enough to change your plumbing.
Oh, he's got kahunas.
Right. I like this guy.
Well, and let me take it one step further. And I'm really disturbed by the fact that, you know, we spend time, you know, talking about this issue anyway in the courts. I mean, if you want to change, it's your right to be changed. I don't care. I don't think it's something that needs to be decided. Go ahead and change yourself. Just find you a doctor that would change your plumbing or whatever the case may be. End the story.
But here we are now. You say it's okay for you to go ahead and change your plumbing. Okay.
Right.
But now you're going to be able to go into the different restrooms that you want to go into.
Yeah.
So one thing leads into something else. Now, I'm not quick to say that we shouldn't do or have an open-minded discussion about everything. I do think the tail has started to wag in the dog.
Yes.
I'm not against, I try not to be a whole lot against people or against things because interracial, gay, whatever. I'm not
right, you do what you want to do. What you do in your bedroom is your
but
business.
Now that we've opened up the dialogue, we're going to have to open it up further. The first time that I had some pause or some cause about equal opportunity or equal access is when the female commentator wanted access to the locker rooms after the football game, mm-hmm. and these guys walking around taking showers and half
right.
naked, but she's equal. She's supposed to be able to go up in there. So men supposed to be able to go up in the women's soccer after the
soccer game.
Well,
let's use some common sense here. It could be a danger to her.
But she's equal.
Well, then, of course she can be equal, but then still she has certain limits. I mean, that's just like I wouldn't want a male to come into, if I'm at a gym, come into a female locker room. And I think it should be the other way for the safety reasons as well.
Common sense has long been thrown out.
Yes. Well, that's the problem.
And
that is the problem.
And I think it's the open-mindedness that we are now beginning to explore. When they said they were going to open up the Citadel, and what was all male, and now you have female rats, so I think I got it right. But now they are equally able to go into that all-male establishment and be, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so they've changed their
they've
like
changed
plumbing?
The rules.
They haven't changed what?
Yeah, even allowing them on ships. I mean,
it was
these
all
are things
male,
that were all male
military
that are now.
Okay.
And people are going like, my daughter was in the Navy. I don't even ask her no questions. You know what I'm saying? I don't do it. But again, the dialogue has been open, and I think we must continue to keep the dialogue going because society is not what it used to be.
Well, let's use some common sense to go along with, though. Miera, go ahead. You have a comment?
What was the question? The engineer put me on spot. I think that people should be able to, do the transition, but I think they should do it all the way through. Because then you confuse people like
exactly.
children.
Exactly. There you go.
And then, you know, sometimes my nieces ask me if they see like a girl dressed as a boy, well, why does she have boobies? You know, they're kind of confused on you're dressed like a boy, you got a haircut, but you have boobies like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think they should do the whole transitioning all the way through.
Right.
Should we pay for it?
No. No, I agree with
no.
you. And you made a very good
I
point.
Pay for it.
We were
I'm
talking
not doing
about
transition myself. So I shouldn't have to pay for it.
Oh, I agree with you. And we were asking a question before we went to break. Would we feel comfortable with someone that's transgender going into the same restroom that we're going into? And I think what you said, Marty, makes very good sense. If you have gone through the complete transition, meaning your plumbing, then I have no problem with it. Until then, no, I don't want you in a restroom with me.
You're just a man in drag.
Exactly.
I don't want you in a restroom with me at all.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not hurtful for me, but it's just that to me, you're still a man. I mean, even if you do the transition and you were born a man, so you might, you know,
even if he had his plumbing and everything changed,
even if he had that change, you know, you could still be changing to a woman, but you might still like woman. You
right.
know,
when he was on commercial break, I said, this is the breakdown of society. This is, we're going back to the Stone Ages. And do you see just in this one room the differences of opinions of where we should even go to the bathroom?
But take that a step further
breakdown.
Because they see that just interracial marriage is a breakdown of
right.
society
yes.
and culture as they know it. They think it's mongrelizing.
I don't know what they you talking
about.
Let's
say Adolf Hitler then. Let's do that.
Yeah, you can't equate the two.
Yes, you can.
This is
people's opinions. Yes,
you're
you can.
Talking about the human
we
body.
We live in Fiji, right? We just gonna
and
to
how
Fiji.
We choose to look at it
we
versus
Fiji, right?
Our attitudes towards color or other topical characteristics.
Right.
They're not the same issues. Let's not get it all.
Well, it's opinions of. What is your opinion of me losing? The people that are following Donald Trump feel like they are losing. And when you feel, regardless of what it is, a lot of people still do not like black folk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Regardless because you're black. There are people now who are transgender. And look, if I go in the bathroom, I got to be there. Really and truly, I really don't care. As long as you ain't in there with me, I really don't care. But again, when you start having dialogue and we begin to ask for access, we begin to ask for consideration, and we begin to ask for rights, and then we stand on the other side and say, well, I don't feel that way about you. You shouldn't have no rights. You've got to watch that.
When you discriminate against one issue,
you can
it invites other issues
That's
as well.
Right. That's
you
right.
may discriminate against people being a certain gender, and then and that would invite, okay, I don't, you know, don't like interracial couples or whatever the case may be.
Or don't come in my pie shop and ask that boo-boo and Ray-Ray together forever, and I supposed to put my name on that? No.
Okay.
Don't make me do it.
Don't make me do it. Okay. Well, we're going to our Black Talk commentary with our friend Scotty Reed.
Oh, thank you.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Move mountains, we can walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. And I'll rise up, I like the waves. I'll rise up, in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I do it a thousand. The silence is in quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we would take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet.
Today marks 1 year since Freddie Gray died in Baltimore after being injured during an arrest and denied medical treatment by Baltimore police. A vigil was held for Gray, and Gina Best was in attendance, a mother whose daughter, India Kager, was killed by police in Virginia Beach last year. She has some tough words for the presidential candidates, who she says are ignoring the issue of police brutality and murder. And she also took a dig at Hillary Clinton and her band of Mothers of the Movement, as they are described in campaign ads for Hillary Clinton. Ms. Best said the pain of her daughter's murder is not to be exploited for votes.
I find as a mother of a murdered 27-year-old woman, India Cater, in her car with my 4-month-old grandson in the back seat. There is no words. It's far beyond insulting. It's egregious. We're since 2015 when my daughter was killed. We're 2016 and we're in the middle of a very strong political case. How do you say this right now with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton? I am not a mother to be paraded across the street and let anyone exploit the pain of my daughter being murdered. So it's not so much about, oh, I've got this vote or I have this person who's behind me. It is who is there to fight for the mothers who have to live when their children are murdered. I don't support that. I support the grassroots. I support people who are truly out there fighting for our murdered children. I have yet to hear, other than Bernie Sanders, utter the name of India Cager or Rekia Boyd or Laquan McDonald. They're ignoring us. Why?
Hillary Clinton reportedly won the New York primary last night under a cloud of reports about electronic vote flipping for Clinton and millions of voters being purged from the voter rolls. It is very telling that Hillary Clinton supporters sound like the Republicans defending the voting shenanigans of 2000 when Bush was widely accused of stealing the election. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary on Tanya Free and Friends. Join me and other media producers at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Tune into Just Jazz on Saturday nights from 9 until 11 p.m. right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Join me, Ty Bailey, as I showcase the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's all right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at tanyafree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at tybailey.com.
As Republican Senator Mitch McConnell put it,
our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term.
Fast forward to 2016. Barack Obama, by any measure, is America's most accomplished president. Comcast, in 2012, after Obama's re-election, purchases the parent company of MSNBC, NBC Universal, replacing already conservative talk show host with even more conservative host while purging its cable arm of blacks like Melissa Harris Perry and diminishing the roles of other minority hosts, if not canceling their contracts altogether. Black cynics like Dr. Boyce Watkins of Your Black World.
Many African-American pundits were in high demand when President Obama was elected. As Obama phases out, you'll see them kind of phase out.
And black man hater Yvette Carnell of BreakingBrown.com.
Because these people were only needed while the Brown president was in office. So long as Obama was in office, we needed someone to say, what are the Negroes thinking? What is the Negro president saying?
This erroneous assessment totally misses the mark. White conservatives didn't buy up 98% of mainstream media to report on or cover the nation's first black president. They bought up the media to destroy him. When they realized it didn't work, they simply shifted their focus away from blacks carrying their water back to ignoring the black race altogether.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
10 a.m. Eastern on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com. Brought to you by Urban Picks. Go to UrbanPicksNow.com. Urban Picks. Black movies. Black entertainment. Black on demand.
This is Tanya Free. The Capital Area Health Network is Medicare and Medicaid approved. Caring and dependability are the principles we live by, providing you and your loved ones with quality dental, medical, and pediatric care for over a decade. That's why the Capital Area Health Network is the heart of the community. Now with extended hours at the Northside Medical Center, 2809 North Avenue, from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. We are here for you. Call 780-0840. That's 780-0840. Accepting most insurance plans.
Go ahead, you know, and implement your ideas, your notions.
put them in motion, like the words we funky dreads have spoken to you. So listen up loud and clear. This is a word you must be aware of. What you gonna do, put it in your life too. Now that's the meaning of the line.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Yeah, be selective. Be objective.
Give a shout out to my music director today, Jammin'.
Yeah.
Keep it going. Keep it going. I got a comment from Gary Gray. This is the same fight that disabled Americans had in the 1960s, the 1970s. If we don't open the door for one, you're closing the door for all. As African Americans, we cannot do this. Now what gay and lesbians do on their own time is theirs. You have to think about other disenfranchised groups in this country. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. That's what we were saying before the break. You segregated against one group, will segregate against another group.
Well, I'm willing to die for their right to have first-class citizenship rights under the law, and I'll fight for that. But we've got to discern or distinguish between what is lawful
right.
and what is amenities.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And so, but again, we haven't even had a chance to talk all of this out. We haven't had a public debate on the matter because it came up on us so fast. We approved
but
it.
But we got the opportunity
we figured
to do
it out.
Though.
Right.
Today,
I'm with you.
The doors are open for discussion. We can do it now. When North Carolina decided they wanted to say, well, okay, you can't do this and you can't do that, and Google and Disney and all these people started saying, well, all right then.
Let me chime in and say this. Basically, we have one group of people that are calling the shots. Like
well,
you said, it hasn't been a discussion.
Are they calling the shots or are they making their
demand? That too.
They are just voicing their opinion.
That too. Yeah. The Kim Davis is a prime example who would not sign marriage licenses for mm-hmm. you know, people of
same sex. Yeah.
And she was, you know, it was called or because of her religious belief. And like I said, it's one group, you know, of people that are calling the shots. So it hasn't been a discussion. And it's also, too, isn't that something that the mainstream media should talk about, you know, at a more in depth than you know, this crazy drama that they're talking about? Well, they want to talk about abortions and all of that. Is that really high on the list? Well, really, this subject really isn't should be high on the list either, in my opinion. I mean, it's personal.
Your bathroom business. That's kind of hard to talk about.
Well, it is public accommodations. It needs to be discussed, especially when you write laws, put laws on the books regarding it.
I just left an interview with Channel 12 where they interviewed the Ku Klux Klan in their robes, and one of the my counter response. I'm going, oh, so you now want to be a kinder, gentler domestic terrorist? Is that what you want us to view you as? When you've not made one effort to atone for your past sins and murder and mayhem. It's insane.
Right.
Without atonement, you got nothing. And all I'm saying is, even with this issue, there's got to be some give and take on both sides of this mm-hmm. thing.
Absolutely.
And you've got this group called ACT UP who pushed this envelope to begin with
mm-hmm.
So fast that we hadn't worked out how to run the railroad with this kind of new wrinkle in our life.
Well, one thing I do feel is that we are too quick to want to pass laws. You know,
true.
It's just too quick. Every time they want to do something, we're going to pass a law. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on.
And then we don't know about it until, you know.
The unintended consequences, right?
Right.
You know, right. These things, we pass laws, and you don't know what the impact is going to have.
Exactly. Until it's already passed.
And nobody goes back and tries to repeal
it. Well, it's passed, and then it has to go before the Supreme Court. Right. Yeah. So that's the thing. So, all right, can we move past this subject, girl?
Oh,
we've
been... I just bring it back up.
Oh, please.
Okay. Real Brother, millions of people were excluded from voting because they changed parties when a black man was nominated by Democrats. Okay. Alrighty.
But they didn't change their sex.
Did I say we're going to get past
okay,
that?
Okay.
All right, let's talk about this 5-year-old kindergarten kid that was disciplined by administrators with a wooden paddle for fighting and spitting on another student. The incident has caused controversy over corporal punishment. Now, if you saw the video, the question is this. Was it corporal punishment, or was it abuse? Let me go to the phones and get Scotty before we start. Scotty?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I had to call back since I'm here in North Carolina and share some information on that. And it did sneak up on us. This is a result of black voters staying home during midterm elections, and the Republicans have taken over all of, you know, the House, the Senate, and the governorship. And this, you know, they have really been doing some terrible things down here.
Yes.
I feel like this was a non-issue. Before, they only came up with this bill because Charlotte, which I don't understand, and because I hadn't read anything about, you know, transgender people having problems with the bathroom and whatnot. So I don't know why Charlotte, you know, wanted to pass this ordinance to protect them. And so what the Republicans did was a direct response to that. I feel it's unfair to Charlotte, since they were trying to provide those protections for PayPal, which was going to open up a facility here that would have provided 300 jobs. And so they punishing Charlotte when Charlotte was the one trying to protect these mm-hmm. people. And so I think that, you know, this whole boycott thing is misdirected. You're aiming it at the wrong people. Why you want to harm Charlotte when Charlotte was trying to provide them with those protections? But this is the thing that's not getting attention. They put an amendment in that bill to also make it difficult for anybody
prohibit.
To use the state courts in discrimination cases.
Prohibit.
Not just discrimination against transgenders, but discrimination against people based on their age, discrimination based on their race. They snuck that in that bill,
wow.
And nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Say that again, Scotty.
They made it more difficult for us to use the state courts to sue employers or whoever we're suing for discrimination. That's part of that bill.
It's part
and
of the bill,
really
Scotty.
Talking about it.
It was part of the bill. The governor struck that piece out. The governor struck that piece out. But the fact that they would even try it is what you're talking about, and you're right.
Yeah, but he issued an executive order. He did not strike that out. He said he issued an executive order saying transgenders will be protected, you know, in terms of state government employees. But they did not. He did not. He can't do that. That has to be repealed through the legislature. And this is why it's important that we stop staying home during these midterms.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And Sanjay said it during the break.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty. We appreciate that. It is. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Plain and simple.
I'm almost sure before he signed that bill, he amended it to take that part out of it, that no municipality in the state of North Carolina can you sue or take to court an issue of discrimination. That was in there, and I'm almost sure he signed that bill after taking that out.
Wow. I mean, that's you're talking about a loss of power.
But, yeah. But
I mean, so
it wasn't
so if you,
just
so
North
if you have
Carolina
an issue,
and
if you
Charlotte.
Have an issue with an employee,
redress.
What do you do?
You have no redress.
No
yeah,
redress.
What do you do?
It's unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court would flush it down the toilet as soon as it gets up there.
But you still have local elected officials that will go along with that.
Yes. Exactly.
And we still have that. The fight continues. Mm-hmm. We'll win a war, then we go home. Those folk will regroup and come back. Right. We do not leave a sentry at the gate and say, oh, here they come again.
Right.
You know, we don't do that. You know, you've got to stay visual all the time.
Stay in tune what's going
because
on.
Because they'll pick away at rights.
Or
they'll,
quietly.
Yes.
That's,
yes.
And that's no a fanfare, lot of times
And we don't
happens.
Read. We don't. We, yeah. If it's you're not right. on the news.
And you got
we
this,
don't
right.
Next this group called ALEC. The American Legislative Exchange Council, a nonprofit right-wing organization of lawyers who literally write these bills for these legislators.
Wow.
They research them. They write them. They are as draconian as you can imagine anything being. They hand it to the legislator and said, here, run with this.
Wow.
And that's what they're doing all over the South.
And they're doing that because
so
they've got access to
you. So it wasn't just North Carolina. It wasn't just Charlotte. They're doing it all over the states, all over the South.
In the South.
Unbelievable.
It's what happened here when George Allen was governor. Allen introduced them a scheme that was applied where there were Republican governors from Maryland South all the way around to Texas. And that was to overbuild prisons, 1995, mm-hmm. overbuild prisons and put in place three strikes out to round up the brothers. And then they abolish parole in order to keep your brothers there. And then they tighten up the 21-day rule so that if you can find yourself actually innocent, you better do it within 21 days of your conviction or you'll never get in front of a judge. Mm-hmm. Then they put in place with prison enterprise, which is no more than slave labor. And if all of that wasn't bad enough, they cited those new prisons and communities where you had desperately poor white people in order to have jobs on the backs of black folk. You can't get more racist than that.
And why is this not being discussed
well, it is
in
being
mainstream
discussed.
Media?
No, it's not being discussed.
Well, in a way that it is because we're now talking about the crime bill that Clinton signed, and all of that was a part of that. And now we're talking about unintended consequences where we have been disproportionately affected by that bill because he was coming out with that three strikes
right,
you out.
No,
one strike you out if it's egregious enough. Mm-hmm. And then you took away the discretion from judges.
Mandatory
so that
minimums, that's right.
No, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we need redress on.
Right.
You know, so because you didn't see that. And back in the 70s, we had white flight out of the cities, and we had open-air drug markets. It was awful. Now, we were the ones on city council. We were the ones that controlled the school board. We were the ones asking for this legislation. We had no idea. Well, we were controlling cities and counties and little towns that this was going to be the full effect of what we were asking for. And the federal government brought it down to the states, and the states took it and ran away with
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, we got to take a break. This is our praise break. Oh, a jazz break? Okay. Today's smooth jazz break is Sneaking Out the Front Door by Chris Dandrum, sponsored by the Metropolitan Day School.
Oh,
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device.
On your computer.
In your ear. And interactive. It's new. It's innovative. And it's on your mobile device.
Android.
iPhone. iPad. And on your computer.
Take us wherever you go.
Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Here's why. Dish has the nation's lowest TV price, along with an award-winning DVR that can skip commercials, record 8 shows at once, and get access to thousands of movies at your fingertips. Cable simply can't even compare. So the smart choice is to cut the cable and get Dish. Plus, you get all these great TV features, free HD DVR upgrade, free installation, and free movie channels. Say goodbye to cable and get more with Dish TV. 800-818-3967. 800-818-3967. As an added bonus, you can switch to Dish now and receive a $50 Visa gift card. So call now and get Dish TV. Call 800-818-3967. 800-818-3967. That's 800-818-3967. Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification required. Cancellation fee, monthly equipment fees, and other restrictions apply. Promotion can change at any time.
The conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
We just learned during the break that Harriet Tubman will be on the front of the $20 bill, which is good.
In 2020,
right. Yeah, but she'll be on the front of the $20 bill. And also, too, we learned that three lower-level state employees will be charged in the Flint water case, a water situation. So I hope they do something with the governor there. I think he needs to be charged, be held accountable in a criminal manner. So let's see how things develop.
Yeah, it didn't
that.
Look like they had, it looked like two state employees that I saw that came across the screen. Their
yeah,
names.
Two lower state employees.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get back to the 5-year-old kindergarten student that was disciplined by administrators. I believe it was the principal and assistant principal with a wooden paddle that was trying to discipline this little boy for, like I said, fighting and spitting on another student. And looking at the video, the mother was there. She secretly recorded it. What do you all think? Was it corporal punishment or was it abuse? Sanjay, I know you're going to leave shortly, so give us your thoughts.
Let me just say this.
Okay.
I think that I probably would have a problem with anyone beating my child in these days, even though I do feel like there's got to be a way to somehow discipline children. Really, it starts at home. I think when we talk about back in the day when the teacher could, you know, slap you or not slap you, but discipline you, let me use that word. I think it was a little bit different because we went to church with the teacher. The teacher knew our family, and it was
lived in our community.
So I think that was fine. But I think today things are just a little bit different. And I don't really want to say abuse, but some other factors in this is that the lady did, apparently they do have corporal punishment, and she said it was okay. Once again, now you got to draw the line as what is corporal punishment, what is abuse. I don't think I can beat my own children these days and not be brought up on abuse charges. So right. I don't know.
That's the other. No, that
not
is
that I agree question. With that, but right. I'm just saying.
Right. And the thing is, and the thing is this: whereas the school is allowed to do it, but we as parents, can't if we it. Were to do right. it right,
and that's what it says here. It says Georgia law outlaws abuse, but it does allow school systems to decide for themselves whether to administer corporal punishment within specific guidelines and limitations, and. And this is the key part of it here, with parental consent. Consent.
Right, and the mother had given consent so that she would not be arrested. And which also too brings up another question as to this child had missed like 18 days from school.
See, she was the one that really needed to have the beating.
Right, exactly. Well, not the beating, but discipline. The mother has some issues that need to be addressed. And I don't think she should have been... put in a position where she had to sign an agreement or for her child to be punished in that fashion. I am totally against the corporal punishment in school. I am. Like someone said, I think you said, it should be done at home, Sanji. Mm-hmm. You know, anything like that should be done at home. But once again, if we were to paddle our children and call it corporal punishment, you know, and the child call... the police and child protective services come in and all that. It's a totally different ball game than them doing it at school. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't agree that the school should be able to do something that I can't do myself. And I believe in corporal punishment at home. Mm-hmm. But because when you call a child protective service, by the time they get there, you're gonna need them. But but again, when we were coming up, the teachers lived in our community. She was right down the street, and she would beat her child just as quick as she'd beat one of us. Mm-hmm. So, and beat is not the right word.
She
would grab a snatch.
Discipline.
And
that's right. Discipline.
Yeah, she would keep you in check.
Right, keep you in check.
The most degrading thing in the world was to have said, go on down and see Mr. Williams. And he had that board. I mean, he didn't want to go through
right. I
it
remember
was
him.
Public humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... That was then, but for you to take away my rights as a parent, and then you want to give it to somebody at the school? No, that don't work.
Although
some of these kids need that.
There's even like one more thing that I read up on it that kind of concerned me, and I can't. Our school systems make mistakes. Clerical errors happen everywhere that we go. But there's she Perez, who is the mother of the child. Said that she signed a waiver not giving them permission when she enrolled him in the school in the beginning. But if I signed a waiver not giving you permission to beat my child, I'm not going to stand near and watch
it.
You.
Yeah. And film it.
So it's kind of, I think she's trying to make it a case. I mean, what Georgia is doing... We were talking about it earlier. Some of these laws that no one just pays attention to anymore.
Right.
You know, we kind of need to fine tune ourselves before we start dictating newer laws. We need to work on some of these older ones. Figure out what still applies to society as today. But I definitely think that, you know, I wouldn't stand by and watch somebody beat my child if I didn't give him permission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't give him permission from the beginning, but by him missing 18 days in school after the fact, she did sign it. And like I said, she was trying to keep from being arrested. And like you said, I wouldn't have stood there either. I probably would have had to be arrested.
Because yeah, they just arrested
me. Yeah, they would have had to arrest me for the mere fact that I wouldn't have secretly recorded. I just wouldn't allow for her to even allow her child to even go through that and you watch. That's something wrong. Like I said, the mother needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
The mother needs some issue.
Able to discern what was he getting the whipping for.
Spinning and fighting the kid.
Yeah.
Well, again, I'm convinced that you've got
you've got so many teachers, younger teachers particularly, new teachers, mm-hmm. who have never gone through a course of classroom management. And sometimes you can allow a classroom to get out of kilter that much that these kinds of behaviors will take place. And so, which is one of the reform issues I've been pushing for the last 10 years, that you train up through professional development your teachers in classroom management, number one. Number two, you need to teach these younger teachers how to teach to different learning styles. Mm-hmm. All children don't learn the same.
Absolutely.
Well, you've got, and on that, you've got the teachers and the teachers union, which does not give you the flexibility to give different and alternative types of teaching styles. It's all sitting in a straight row in the class.
No, that's not true.
I'm trying to say that you don't have the kind of flexibility which allows you to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of these teachers need hazard duty pay. These kids are off the chain. Okay?
You cut me
truly
off.
Truly are. And we started looking at that. They're going to school. They've taken their problems from home to school. They're on all kind of medicines and everything else. And you sitting up there, you 4 foot two and a half, and some 14-year-old, 6 foot two, 200 pounds, standing on top of you, calling everything outside your name. I got issues with that. And we've got to look at that school system. We have not changed that. We have not revised that in a way that I can pull my child out and put him in an alternative opportunity, educational opportunity. It's not there.
I agree with you. There's a community component of educating children that's missing. And the village is broke. It does take a village to raise a child. And it did. Those of us 40 years old and older, the damn village has been broke for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so until we can reestablish the village where we can send children healthy, calm, and ready to learn to school, then we haven't done our job.
Absolutely. And
that's fixable. You know, I got a plan right now. We're just getting ready to commence, in which we're organizing block clubs, bringing people back into relationship with each other around the idea of lifting up the best life chances for children.
Are we talking about stopping busing and getting back into community schools?
I'm not talking about that at all. Don't get ahead of me. I'm talking about
Tanya, I want to point out what Linda is saying on the screen there. She says,
"Well, let me read it first." Yeah. Linda asks, "How is beating a child going to teach the child not to fight?"
And I think that is what the main focus of this whole problem is. He was not being disciplined. He was not learned to show respect at home.
Right.
And so he bought his temper at five. At five, he brought this anger to school with him and took it out on other kids. Now the state of Georgia has put it in their own hands to discipline, taking it out of the parents' hand so that they know, I guess, how many hits to give to stop. It's not emotional. But if he was given that discipline and it didn't have to be in a physical way, you know, not all parents have to be physically, you know, physical with their children to get them to learn discipline, respect, and to, when they go out in the world, to give that same respect and discipline out there.
Well, I mean, that is not happening a lot of times. If you hear kids hollering and screaming in church and stores, and the parent, you know, just ignoring the whole thing and sending their children to school for not, you know, education, but expecting the teacher to raise them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is what was happening with this kid. He was out of control, and the fact that the mother stood by and didn't do anything is pretty much probably what is happening at home.
It is happening all over. I'm a sociology baccalaureate, and I'm convinced that what we're looking at and witnessing today is the front edge of a meltdown in the social order in some of our black communities. Mm-hmm. Not exclusively black, but I'm talking about black folk because that's where I'm
right.
at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the
social order is melting down.
The home situation has melted down.
Well, you can talk about the home, but look.
Well, and let me say this, too. I think it's further melted down when, you know, we get frowned upon when we try to use corporal punishment as a means of discipline. And let me say this. Corporal punishment to me means you may spank your child a tap. I'm not talking about
a beat down
or when they're abused or right. something on the child. And I'm talking before the waist down. There's nothing wrong with a tap. Because my thing is this. My father raised us, and he would give us, you know, a whooping. I ain't going to say a spank. It was a whooping. Because he was determined that we were not going to be a menace to society. And it was five of us, and none of us had been to jail. So it worked. It worked, you know. So when people say, you know, that you use corporal punishment and they were talking about child protective services and that sort of thing, that's why the prisons are on overload. Because we have been restricted from being able to discipline our child. You got some kids, that timeout stuff, tell me how well that's really going to work.
Mm-hmm. For some kids. We have always had broken down families in our neighborhoods and in our blocks. Right. But it was always neighbors who helped raise those children.
Somebody said, and some of them would use corporal punishment.
And we gave them tacit approval to whip his ass.
Right.
And that was
yeah,
super.
We gave them tacit approval.
Because if Miss Drew had to get you, when you got home, I was going to get you again.
Exactly.
You
know? That's right. And none of us died. We weren't abused, you know, or had mental issues and that sort of thing.
I think what we learned was respect.
Yes. Absolutely.
Exactly. So what's the problem with corporal punishment in the manner or not in an abusive manner, that, you know, it's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with corporal punishment when it's used properly.
When it's used properly.
And as far as a family is concerned, and we talk about programs such as folks going into team sports or into the military, what is the first thing that they do to young people? They break them down in order to get respect.
Mm-hmm. There you
from
go.
Them. Exactly. So it has to happen in the home, I think, first. I have a 5-year-old grandson, and I can see his little personality, and he has an anger issue. He quickly... You know, will
you'll snap on
snap
you.
On yeah. you, and I think that we've taught as a society not to spank children or that younger generation, because my daughter doesn't really do it. But when he'll get mad, he'll throw stuff, and he happened to throw my tablet, which broke.
Okay,
and I immediately got up and gave him spanking.
You grab that boy in the collar.
And you know what?
It was no talking.
it is better to do it now than wait 10 years or so. Then you try to deal with it.
White, and this is the tea of the week. According to CNN, Donald Trump gives Hillary Clinton a new nickname, Crooked Hillary. Clinton replies, "I do not respond to Donald Trump in his string of insults about me. I can take care of myself. What I'm concerned about is everybody else. He goes after women, Muslims, immigrants, and even people with disabilities. survey has found that thousands of voters, including Demi Moore and other celebrities, have mistakenly registered as members of a conservative minor public party in California in a mix-up over its name. The Los Angeles Times said that a telephone survey of 500 members of the American Independent Party found nearly 3 of 4 people did not realize they enrolled in the party that imposes abortion rights and same-sex marriage and calls for building a fence along the U.S. border. According to ESPN, Kobe Bryant reaches retirement after 20 seasons. Bryant scored 60 points in his final NBA game before retirement. What a legend. For more Tea of the Week, text Mimi to 63975.
Faithful Connection. Lee Walker and Spirit of Richmond. And special guests, Julian Bunbury and Renewed Strength. Sunday, May 8th, 4 p.m. at James Monroe High School, 2300 Washington Avenue, Fredericksburg, with special recognition of military mothers, those in the military, children serving in the military, or mothers with spouses serving our country will be admitted free. General admission, $10. Get your tickets from any member of the participating groups. For vendor or ticket information, call 804-590-6846, 590-6846. Cavell Phillips will be your MC. One thing that always puts a smile on my mother's face is good gospel music.
WCLM, 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM, 1450 AM.
Pick up the latest copy of the Heart and Soul of the City newspaper. Read about the black woman who said that Bill Clinton is the father of her son. Read about what's going on with the new Creighton Court redevelopment. The Shallow returns in this issue. And also, read our black history stories. This and much more is in the latest edition of the Heart and Soul of the City newspaper. Now, you can also read it online by going to heartandsoulofthecitynewspaper.com or either go to WCLM radio website. The Heart and Soul newspaper, the little newspaper with the great big old news.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-605-4650. 800-605-4650. 800-605-4650. Again, 800-605-4650.
Mother's Day Gospel, music for mom, featuring the Virginia Airs of Chesapeake, Virginia. You should have been there, you should have been there. Save my soul, save my soul. Faithful Connection. You shouldn't miss me
from singing down key. Lee Walker and Spirit of Richmond.
And special guests, Julian Bunbury and Renewed Strength. Sunday, May 8th, 4 p.m. at James Monroe High School, 2300 Washington Avenue, Fredericksburg, with special recognition of military mothers, those in the military, children serving in the military, or mothers with spouses serving our country will be admitted free. General admission, $10. Get your tickets from any member of the participating groups. For vendor or ticket information, call 804-590-6846, 590-6846. Cavell Phillips will be your MC. One thing that always puts a smile on my mother's face is good gospel music.
What a beautiful life.
All that I've got is all that I need. I got you and maybe you got me. What more could I ask for? Beautiful life. I woke up this morning, y'all. The sun was shining oh so brightly. I thought about how good this life is. Back in the day, it wasn't always like this. I think about the things we done been through.
I think about the place that I come from. It wasn't always easy, so every day I'm thanking God for the beautiful people everywhere I go. I just need to see your smiling faces at my show. And when you're feeling real love from the family, every day is a gift, y'all, that's all I need.
What a beautiful life.
All that I've got is all that I need. I got you, and maybe you got me. What more could I ask for?
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay, go ahead, Marty. You were making a point about the fact that we're coming back to what?
I'm seeing an uprising among the populace. It's real clear, and everybody's more and more coming to realize it, that government is broke, local, state, and federal. There were 8 coalitions last week, that mobilized 1,500 people that rained down on city council demanding full funding. We've been working with the bus rapid transit, trying to get them to slow that stupid thing down. Mm-hmm. With 11 civic associations, mostly white, overwhelmingly white, that had never come together before in life to try and slow that thing down and join with the NAACP. They were totally elated that they were linked with somebody black. We lost the vote. They have determined that we're going to continue on with social justice issues. And they helped mobilize their members in each of those civic associations to show up at that meeting last Monday fighting for full funding for schools. Mm-hmm. It's coming. The Crusade for Voters, the NAACP, and myself, their presidents, are beginning to organize black leaders of community-based organizations that have not had relationship in 2 decades.
Now, does this extend beyond a local level?
It is local.
Okay, beyond it, but I mean, it just can't be local. Got to be.
No, I'm saying okay. It is in Richmond City.
Okay.
That includes some of our county neighbors because they live out in the county. But most of the organizations are right here in the city. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying you got Black Lives Matter. Matters. You've got all of these other groups popping up all within the last 2 years now, mm-hmm. Where we've been sitting on our hands for the last 15, 20 years and done nothing but allow these problems to intensify and get worse and worse and worse. And I think, you know, it comes down to how much pain can you bear? And I think we're reaching the point.
We're beyond that.
We're realizing that it ain't going to get better. If it gets better, we're going to have to make it better.
Well, tell everybody when we can listen to the interview you did today with regards to the KKK and your side of it.
Well, that's not really what I want to talk about.
Okay.
But the Channel 12 is doing and has already interviewed the Grand Wizard of KKK. They've been passing out flyers in Chesterfield County, dropping them on driveways out there, and recruiting people to join the KKK. And they claim that they're kinder and gentler KKK. We don't hate black people. We just want to be all white. Well, go find your damn island and help yourself. But what I wanted to talk about was this interview coming up when I leave here, where with regards to funding schools, the public doesn't know, and the school board has not made it plain that we are structurally underfunded. Quick example. Friday, the numbers came out. A story came out about Hanover County passing their budget, $428 million, which is 60% of the $700 million that Richmond City has. So they're smaller. They got half the students, but they gave their school system $176 million, which is 41% of their budget.
Wow.
Richmond City gave our school system, with double the number of students, $140 million and refuses to give them the additional $18 million to make it.
So that's why y'all fighting to make it a whole lot of noise, I can see.
Well, no. What my point is that we are up to $140 million. When I left office, it was $132 million.
And so what I'm saying is that it's structurally underfunded. We give only 20% of our general fund revenue to our schools,
right,
and have done that since segregation days.
Mm, mm.
That's my point.
Okay.
And so, yes, every year we got to fight for more funding for schools because we're structurally underfunded. And the damn school board ain't got sense enough to come out, hold a press conference, and educate the public that that's where we are.
Well, Marge, let me ask you
a
question.
Wait a minute. Before we go any further, I want to, because we're almost out of time, and we're going to talk about this once again, I want to do a tribute to our friend Oliver Rodney Hunt Singleton, who has gone on and to a better place. And I want to do this trip. We did one earlier, but I just cannot express, you know, that there's a song that Mahalia Jackson sings. If I can help somebody along the way, mm-hmm. then my living has not been in vain. Mm-hmm. This describes Oliver perfectly. Oh, yeah. I mean, he helped many, many people. I mean, you know, a good guy and trustworthy. Genuinely, whatever it is you need, he was the chief executive of the Metropolitan Business League. So, you know, I just cannot express enough. I mean, you all knew him, you know. So
you can't live here not knowing him.
Not knowing him.
The guy it was phenomenal. I mean, I can tell you, there ain't three men on the planet that I can truly say that I dearly love. But I love that brother. We were going to meet in his office.
Mm-hmm.
To execute this community wealth building plan that I was telling you about, just before he went into the hospital,
mm-hmm.
And he had to back off at that time. But the circle of friends that's going to help me raise $5 million in the next 5 years, he was going to be in that circle of friends. And I said, Oliver, I know you ain't got no money, because Metropolitan Business League ain't got no darn money. But you know where all the dead bodies are. He knew where everybody was and what they do mm-hmm. and how to hook you up.
Right.
And you can't make this initiative without talking to him first. I mean, the sweetest guy you'll ever meet in your life.
Yes, good guy. Yeah.
I just wanted to read something that I saw online that just really kind of summed up who he was and what he did. It's not long, I promise you.
Okay. Go ahead. You got 15 seconds.
Woo! Oliver Singleton was a giant in Richmond's politics, business, and community service. He suffered with many health problems for almost two decades and never complained. He just kept doing what he did to bring our region together, to make it a better place, and to always keep us all moving forward, our culture, our race, and our economic divides becoming all one. He was armed with an amazing ability to leave you crying with laughter. And our prayers goes out to his family, which was all of us.
Bill?
He was outstanding. Talk about when I got on council to be a neophyte.
Mm-hmm.
But to sit down and talk to Oliver, you know, he just eased your troubles. And like you say, he could really show you what the important issues were. And he knew how to apply gentle, persuasive
mm-hmm.
pressure
very much
to
so.
Help you make a sound decision when it came to economic policy dealing with the city council. And I really loved him. Knew his wife, Rose,
mm-hmm.
too.
And three children.
Yeah, she's working in the health department. So I knew her as well. So it was a good relationship and good knowing him.
Yeah, very much so. And like I said, he was... he would have interns that were working the program, and I just can't say enough about it. You had to love him and know him, and if you had a small business and you need to put together a seminar, he definitely was instrumental in that. And then he was instrumental in having the Women's League summit put together. So he was a wonderful mentor as well. So, you know, and I think you said earlier, an amazing guy.
Can't say enough about him.
No, you really, really can't. So I just wanted us to do a tribute as well in addition to
brother.
The other one. So
we're gonna miss it.
Well, as always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. Of course, thanks to Bill, Marty, Letitia, Sanji, Miera, Roosevelt, Marcus, Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Till next time, be free. Remember, live life with a purpose.